We need to do this. We need to do this now. Okay, side issue, though, because our guest is going to be with us for an hour and a half. He is extremely gracious to join us. And I want to go over his bio in the next segment because it's so lengthy and some stations do not carry this segment. They carry news, but he served as State Secretary in the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, both during Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's administration, and was regarded as a rising star of German politics. He served 25 years as SPD member for the German Parliament, and of course he worked in oversight of their intelligence agencies, and he has clearly said that 9/11, every indicator shows, is an inside job. And he's Andres von Bülow, joining us for the second time. He joined us a few years ago. Mr. von Bülow, we're honored.
Hello, how are you?
I am very good, sir. Again, you're gracious to spend this much time with us. You've also got a best-selling book about 9/11 in Germany. But what do you want to cover in the next hour and a half?
Well, it's not my proposition to cover anything. It's yours. You should ask me questions. I don't want to talk about, well, you can ask me questions. And I'll try to answer. Also, I worked for 10 days in the mountains in our firm. And I'm not so good in English at the moment.
You're doing an excellent job, sir. Yeah, let's go over your history so people know who you are for a few minutes when we get back from break, and then let's talk about your experiences with intelligence agencies dealing with the East Germans when you were involved in intelligence oversight for the West Germans, and then let's get right into 9/11 and what you see happening on the geopolitical landscape over the horizon with your analysis of that, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But first off, because we just got a minute or so before we go to break, tell us about your best-selling book that's in German.
Well, I watched, as everybody, on 9/11, what's going on in New York and in Washington and in Pennsylvania. We were all shocked, and we got the message from the American administration, the Bush administration, that Osama bin Laden was responsible for this very clever act of aggression and terrorism. And a few days later, they found out that 19 people were responsible for this and were doing this. And the first question I had was, who profits from this? And I found out the least to profit about this were the Muslims and Osama bin Laden. And I was very doubtful about the declaration which came out from the Bush administration. So I looked how things developed, how they declared that Iraq, Saddam Hussein was responsible for the attack, Osama bin Laden was responsible, these 9 Mujahideen were responsible, and so on and so on. And finally I found out that you have perhaps 4 options to find out to declare what was going on. The first option was a strike out of the blue. Nobody knew.
Andres von Bülow, stay there, sir. We've got a break. I want to come back and recap what you said, plunge right into it. Again, we're extremely honored to have you with us today. We'll be back on the other side of this quick break. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
He's a best-selling author concerning government involvement in 9/11 in Germany. Andres von Bülow, born in 1937 in Dresden. He's a German writer, lawyer, and former SPD politician. He's been working on books about intelligence agencies, including In the Name of the State and many other publications. Political career, he served as State Secretary in the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, both during Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's administration, and was regarded, again, as the rising star of German politics. He also served for 25 years as an SPD member of the German Parliament. Since commencing his writing career, he has largely left the SPD's political loop, according to the encyclopedia I'm reading. We'll see if that's accurate. And during his time in the Bundestag, he served, that's their legislature, their parliament, on the Parliamentary Intelligence Committee. This work led him into his subsequent writing career. And on 9/11, he wrote the CIA on September 11th, in which he alleges U.S. government complicity in the September 11th, 2001 attacks, a quote from the book. Planning the attacks was a master deed in technical and organized terms. The hijack of four big airliners with a few minutes and flying them into targets with a single hour and doing so in complicated flight routes. This is unthinkable without backing from secret support by state and industry. And it goes on. And he joined us several years ago. And that interview, the transcript of that and the subsequent article, is one of the most read pieces on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So we're now joined by Andres von Bülow. Again, Andres, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Please recap for stations that just joined us what you said in the last few minutes. Tell us about yourself and then how you woke up, why you have expertise in understanding intelligence and terrorism, and then let's plunge right into 9/11.
Well, you have at least you have fundamentally four options to declare what was going on 9/11. The first option is that it was a strike out of the blue. Nobody knew anything about it. It was hidden before all the intelligence agencies of the United States and around the world. And then the horrible thing happened on 9/11. This was the first declaration of the administration. They didn't know anything. They couldn't imagine that airplanes could be hijacked and steered into a building like the two towers and the Pentagon. The second option is that they knew, the intelligence community knew quite a lot, the FBI and the CIA, but unfortunately they were not able to bring it together to a whole picture. This is, I think, the position now of the Independent Commission and of the administration. The CIA had, I think, 14 of these 19 people under control before, but didn't tell the FBI. The FBI had the others under control or knew about them, but they couldn't bring the picture together. So this is kind of horrible negligence on the administrative level. Excuse me. The third option is let it happen. They knew that something is planned, and they didn't interfere in order to use this thing as a pretext to bring control around the globe in different positions, especially in the oil fields of the Near East, and in trying to bring bases against China for the next decades, seeing a conflict coming about. And the fourth option is it was a deliberate act of the administration, or a small part of the administration, in very much insider like. And they brought about this horrible attack in order to swing the public opinion from non-intervention into a situation where the public is supporting what we now have, a third or fourth world war against terrorism, against, as Cheney said and Bush, against 60 states which are supporting terrorism. And I found out that between the third and the fourth option, probably you have to decide. And the very strange thing is that the administration did a lousy, extremely lousy job in finding out what really happened on 9/11. Nobody was found responsible for what happened on 9/11, that you couldn't. The administration was not able to protect these 3,000 people which died on 9/11.
I heard you being interviewed by Tarpley a few weeks ago, and you went even further than you had a few years ago on this broadcast, saying clearly that the fourth option, all the evidence that you look at shows that is the most probable. I mean, boil it down for us with your intelligence background, with your Minister of Defense there in the Parliament background, with your background as technology minister. I mean, clearly, sir, you believe, or is this false, that 9/11 had to be an inside job just from the scientific evidence alone?
Yeah, if you look at it, well, if the government would be free to discover what really happened and show and try to find out how things happened, one could believe that they were not part of the whole business. But if you look at the scenery, you find that first of all, the World Trade Center consists of, I think, seven different houses or huge buildings. Not only the North and South Tower, World Trade Center number 7 was a 48 or 47 store high building. It was destroyed without any airplane touching it at the afternoon of 9/11. And the owner or the leaser of the building said, "We tore it down." And if you look at the pictures, you find and the videos, you find that it's going on in the free fall. You know, in six seconds, a huge building, a skyscraper is falling down on its footprint. It's totally impossible. Few fires were over the day, indicating that there was something inside, but it was not strong enough to destroy the building.
Is it fair to say, Andres Mambulo, that if you look at all the evidence, 9/11 could only be an inside job, and that the official story is a fable?
Yeah, because the official story is so wrong, it must be an inside job. If the official story would tell the reality, what has gone on 9/11, if they could tell the people why the whole military apparatus didn't work on 9/11, no fighter plane take off in the right mm-hmm. time, of these air carriers were stopped or derogated before.
What about the drills of the same targets being hit same time? What about public officials warned not to fly? What about CIA insider trading? What about Bush signing W-1999, ordering the FBI?
You had this insider trading before. You had FinCEN, the secret services of the financial apparatus in the United States. They have a special software program to follow the stock markets, and if the stock market has very strange movements, immediately they take care of this, and they had a lot of tapes, tape recording, and the lawyers of, I think, FinCEN told the people, destroy these tapes. So you don't have proof of this.
They also ran off with the flight recorders. They also shredded the FAA tapes.
Everything. So nothing. Normally the flight recorders are constructed to survive this kind of impact, and you normally find them.
They were discovered. They were. I mean, we now have firefighters saying they found them.
Some were discovered, but you don't know if there is no independent control what is on the flight recorders. You can't tell the truth.
Andres Famulo, do you think that we're in danger of the same criminal group that carried out the attack carrying out another attack because their entire agenda is stalling right now?
Well, the problem is that the Bush administration is in now deeply defensive, and probably they would like to come out in a new offense and taking up the fight against terrorism or so-called terrorism. For me, it's a wonder how in 10 years you can replace the Soviet Union with an enemy which is much more mightful than the Soviet Union at any time was, because you are spending now, I think, more than $400 billion per year in order to fight.
Sir, do you believe we're in danger of the military industrial complex staging another attack?
I think I think Eisenhower was right. He said this is an unbelievable danger for the American democracy, and it developed over the years. And I found out at the end of the Soviet Union, or a few years before, I doubted always that the Soviet Union was military as capable, being as weak on the industrial or other industrial fields. And this was overblown from election to election of presidents.
Do you think because the entire agenda is stalling with the neocons that we're in danger of their parent group carrying out another attack?
I don't know. I hope they don't. I hope that they one new Pearl Harbor is enough. But nobody can be sure that these interests, which are which don't care about people, are going through all the well.
So you think there is a possibility?
I think, if you interpret the 9/11 as I do, or the tendency, first of all, I didn't believe that. But the behavior of the American of the Bush administration in clearing up things after 9/11 shows that there must be the necessity to cover up. And if you come to this conclusion, you can not exclude anything.
Stay there, sir. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
He served as the State Secretary, or the Parliament Secretary of Defense, also the Minister of Research and Technology. He was also on a committee that was over in intelligence. I want to get some into that, how he woke up to this paradigm. Andres Angulo is our guest. Andres, boiling it all down, you know, you've gone through some of why you woke up on 9/11. Now the evidence mounts and stacks on top of evidence, but not just the cover-up and not just how the official stories are fraud from end to end and, you know, the absconding of the evidence. We then have what they've done with the war on terror, destroying the liberties in America, invading countries that had nothing to do with it, falsifying intelligence. I mean, the picture just gets clearer and clearer. Has the picture for you gotten clearer since you first wrote your book a couple years ago?
No, I think it's now rather clear that the administration uses this as a pretext to set new fields. They try in the Near East to change the whole scenario, the political scenario. They prepare difficulties with China. I think the administration thinks that China is much too big. It has to be divided in different parts, and so the military apparatus is now around China. Prepared for the next decades. They build huge bases in Iraq. They build bases in Kazakhstan, in the former states of the Soviet Union. This is all in Afghanistan. This is all, I think, the preparation for new things to come.
Yeah, new enemies, new theaters, new paradigms.
New enemies, yeah.
Manufacturing enemies. Now, getting back into 9/11 evidence, we're going to go to break and come back. I want to get more into this. What about all the documents like Northwoods, where our own government admits they wanted to carry out similar attacks to 9/11 and blame it on foreign enemies during the Cold War? What about PNAC in September 2000 in Rebuilding America's Defenses saying we need a new Pearl Harbor? What about Brzezinski saying the same thing in the Grand Chessboard? I mean, how important are those documents?
I think they are very important. 12 months before 9/11, the group New American Century, Project New American Century, they wrote a paper about the defense budget, the future defense budget of the United States. And they said, peace dividend, please no. The Soviet Union is gone. There is no danger any longer from this point of view. But now we have to fight for a new American century. We have to build bases. We have to throw out Saddam Hussein, not only because he is a bad guy. In former times, he was a friend of Rumsfeld and of Reagan.
And we need a terror attack to get that done.
And therefore, they said, we have to spend even more, and the American population is stupid enough not to believe it. And so it will take time to convince the American population. And the only thing which could help would be a new Pearl Harbor. And then with a new Pearl Harbor, you would have an event which would switch immediately the attitude of the American public, having a new enemy, willing to go to war, willing to fight, willing to spend. And this is what happened, and this is the, normally the industrial, military, I think always also academic process.
Well, of course, sir, and then the 25 members of the Project for New American Century, almost all of them now are chieftains at the Pentagon or in the White House, including the Vice President.
Sure, and they a part of them wrote the government program for Netanyahu, for example. So there you find again that Saddam Hussein has to be defeated and has to be thrown out, and so on. And Iraq has to be divided in three different states, and so on and so on. It's a group of people thinking geostrategically and thinking that America has to spend more and more and more on defense, and they
now
all come out of the oil industry or out of the defense industry.
How many of the German elite of politics know what's really going on when you talk to them privately?
I don't know. I don't speak to them, because otherwise they would say, well, you are right, or you are wrong. If they say wrong, I would say, well, keep your naivete. If they say you are right, then they would get a difficulty, because then I could say openly in the public, this and this political figure is behind my...
Well, a few years ago, another big German minister went public and said clearly this is the pretext for global domination. 9/11 was an inside job, pretext for global domination. Andres, long segment coming up after this quick break. Plenty of time to talk. Let's go back through 9/11 and what you think the most important points pointing to an inside job are. We'll be right back. If you want to learn the truth about 9/11, the true horror of who carried it out, why they carried it out, we have all the evidence laid out, how they did it, in my new 9/11 film, Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State. It is such an important documentary. It's 3 hours long, $24.95. You can get additional copies as low as $5.95 when you get a whole bunch of them. Or just buy one and burn copies. Give it to everybody you know. Get my classic film that some still say is my best, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. I had it out, 5 months after 9/11. And then, of course, there's my book, 9/11, Descent into Tyranny, Paul Watson's book, Order Out of Chaos, Elite-Sponsored Terror, and the New World Order, getting into a whole bunch of other terror attacks, including 9/11. We also carry Loose Change, second edition. And we also carry Webster Tarpley's 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in the USA. A lot of 9/11 books and videos available via the Safe Secure online shopping cart at the video and bookstore at InfoWars.com, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. We have the former State Secretary and German Federal Ministry of Defense, former Minister for Research and Technology, and, of course, for Helmut Schmidt, it goes on and on, best-selling author, researcher, sat on intelligence committees, overseeing a big whistleblower on corruption between the West and East German secret police. He joins us with amazing expertise, and I guess 3 years ago he went public about the official story of 9/11 being a fraud, and the four scenarios, clearly it's the third or fourth, in between government letting it happening and financing it and opening the door to the government completely carrying it out. He says it's clearly between those two options, and the official story we know is a lie. Sir, for those that just joined us, and again, we're so honored to have you, why don't you just talk about anything that you think is important concerning 9/11 and some of the key points that clearly show that there's different levels of inside job participation by groups, and then tell us what organization or groups could carry out this attack from the signature of the events we saw on that horrible day now almost 5 years ago.
No, there were I think two events concerning 9/11. One was the planes. They were steered supposedly by these 19 young Muslims, which had identities which were stolen before. The identities were never cleared. The names of these 19 people never came up in the official passenger lists. Until now, there is no proof that they were on the planes via the passenger list. There were no video. All the airports are covered by lots of video cameras. cameras, but you don't find anywhere you can say this is this and that guy.
And the BBC admits that 7 to 9 are confirmed to still be alive.
That's right, and they didn't retreat from this this message. A lot of people say, well, they gave it up, but until now it's still open, and the BBC is telling the public 7 were still alive. Some flew for Merak Air, another was working for the Saudi oil industry, and so on and so on. You could find them. Then the second thing is the planes. These youngsters have steered these planes, then opposite to this is the saying of the training of the pilot schools that they couldn't fly these planes. They were unable to fly. One said that they were not able to fly even the Cessna. So this is very, very strange. But not only the planes are a problem, lots of people say there were explosions. And if you look at the things that the procedure physically, you find that the towers came down in the velocity of free fall, which is totally impossible. They fall down like in 8 or 9 or 10 seconds. To explain this, why the pancake theory is ridiculous, as the commission told the public.
Let me bring something up on that point. We have physicists, we have the heads of mining colleges, we have the underwriter for the laboratory, Kevin Ryan, who wrote the report and did the test and said it was impossible. When he spoke up, they fired him. We have former Bush administration officials going public. We have now even Dr. Paul Craig Roberts saying clearly it's an inside job. We have former CIA chief briefers for Ronald Reagan and Bush Sr. saying the whole thing's a fraud. I mean, what are they going to do with so many prominent people? Michael Meacher, Blair Cabinet going public. What are they going to do with all these prominent people? Airline pilots, fighter pilots, the former head of the Star Wars program, Dr. Bob Bowman, going public saying clearly it's an inside job. What are they going to do with more and more prominent people? Charlie Sheen going public.
Well, the question is going on to you, because we wonder that between Republicans and Democrats there is no difference in this question. Normally the opposition would take up the stone and throw it deep in the waters, looking what the government is doing with this accusation, but they do nothing. They are following the line of the Bush administration, and this is strange. This is and even more strange is the behavior of the main media. They are just parroting the propaganda of the administration. And if you don't have a free press bringing about doubtful stuff and discussing this and criticizing the administration handling this doubtful stuff and so on, this is a process which must go on and on. Look what happened to Clinton with his sexual affairs with Lewinsky. They spent $60 million of dollars in finding out whether he lied or lied not, having sex or not sex, and so on what kind of sex. They spared money in finding out what happened on 9/11. This is so unbelievable that I can't imagine how a press which is willing to fulfill its job is behaving like the American press is doing now.
Well, we've noticed that they will never respond to any of the facts we bring forward, any of the real questions. When Charlie Sheen says, look at Building 7, look at the frames from the Pentagon, they refuse to ever respond to anyone's facts. They just make up straw man attacks.
That's right. That's right. And if you have this kind of media, the democracy is dying, because the public is not getting informed. It cannot become critical to the elected people.
Let me bring up another facet to this. We know the agents. We know the hijackers were agents of the government. Let me give the evidence of that. The dean of the Defense Language School, 3 months after 9/11, went public in the San Jose Mercury News headline, Dean of Defense Language School says Bush carried out 9/11. Then it had his quotes saying that he was forced to train in top-level spy training three of the supposed hijackers. Then we have the Pensacola News Journal and MSNBC admitting, and Senator Graham having to admit, that at least three of the hijackers were also trained there in secret pilot training. We then have the head of the U.S. Embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, coming on this broadcast saying years before, the supposed hijackers by name were listed as Al-Qaeda terrorists. They went out to a Malaysian summit, were trying to come back through Saudi Arabia to the U.S., and they were flagged. He blocked them from entry to the U.S., and he received a high-level CIA communique and was told they're U.S. government agents in a high-level anti-terror training op. Then we have them in supposed flights in the weeks before 9/11 doing flying on aircraft. Even actor James Woods saw this and said they're clearly hijackers. The FBI said national security shut up. So with those nexus points, we have FBI informants living with them. We have them being paid, their credit cards being paid for by the government. We have the government protecting them. We have the government finding their passports at two different sites. We have all of this. They're clearly government agents. They have more connections to our government than they have to Al-Qaeda. Andres Famulo, your take on that.
Well, the background finally is that all these Al-Qaeda people, so-called Al-Qaeda people, it's an Arabic name for bases or name bases. They were all fighters for the American, the Saudi, and the Pakistani government against the Soviets in Afghanistan.
They were used in Serbia. They were used in Serbia again in the late 90s.
They were used afterwards in Serbia. Osama bin Laden was an asset of the CIA and all these other two secret services. So there's a very, very strong connection to the American secret services using them. And after the Soviet Union left Afghanistan, they were used in different other places. First of all, in the fight in Kosovo and in Albania. And now they are supposed to be the big enemies. I think it's a recycling process of assets of the American Secret Service system.
So, well, the evidence is clear. They got on board aircraft and believed they were taking part in a drill, and something happened to knock them out, and the planes were flown into buildings. I mean, you really cannot debate that. And then Al-Qaeda, if you don't know that it's Al-Qaeda, couldn't have NORAD stood down, couldn't run drills that day to confuse NORAD and other defense intelligence agencies, Pentagon Protective Service. We know that Al-Qaeda couldn't call public officials and tell them not to fly. Al-Qaeda couldn't do CIA insider trading, leading back to the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Al-Qaeda didn't write up Operation Northwoods. They didn't write up the Stay Behind Networks with Project Gladio. They didn't stage the Gulf of Tonkin. They didn't stage the USS Liberty. I mean, okay, who specifically could carry out the attacks from the signature the way it was carried out? Former Parliamentary Defense Minister Andres Famulo.
Well, you do a wonderful job. You are listening all these strange things. CIA is an agency which was built up in the end of the 40s, and the job was to be better as the KGB. And I always thought that we in the Western world would be reluctant to do things like the KGB, but they were willing to be better as the KGB, and this is a program. And if you follow these the behavior of the activities of the CIA over the decades, you find out that they are fighting wars beyond the line of official war fighting, and nobody knows about it. All these things are normally covered operations, false flag operations with patsies like these 19 Muslims, in order to change things, change public opinion in Italy by terror acts, change public opinion in Palestine or wherever, or in Iran. So you have this kind of behavior from time to time, and it's it's a normal procedure. And if you analyze this over the decades, you find out that it repeats itself.
Sir, can you specifically speak to that? You're saying it's a normal procedure. You mean government-sponsored or government-provocateur terror is a normal procedure?
In other countries. In other countries outside of the United States, it's a standard procedure. Within the United States, it's very strange that it happened, and it's not quite sure whether the CIA is behind this. It might be an interior job. For example, the interception of these hijacked airplanes. Until 9/11 in this year, 2001, I think in 67 cases of uncertainty about the behavior of pilots and aircraft, the Air Force went up and did this interception job successfully. On 9/11, four airplanes were hijacked, and in none of these cases, the interception took place. The jets were too late. They started too late. They started from far to far, from far away places. What is especially important, and what nobody is telling the public from the official side, is that on 9/11, on the day of 9/11, there were five air maneuvers taking place under the direction of Cheney, and the people of the Federal Aviation Agency on the ground, which had to deal with this aircraft, they didn't know what was exercise and what was reality.
Talking about the drills, and then the big CIA / New York Command Center that was based in Building 7, they had moved out of the building the day before with FEMA, and this is now confirmed by Giuliani, were running Tripod 2 drill for a terror attack on the facility that very morning.
Yeah, sure, and then probably the command center of Giuliani, the mayor of New York, which had a two or three or four floors of a command center.
That's where they were running the attacks from.
Yeah, and this might be the optimal place in order to have a remote control steering of aircraft,
and then blow up the evidence at the end of the day.
And then blow up. It was two actions, two procedures. One was a flowing in of these aircraft. The second were explosions, which must have been applied before. I think weeks before, for a week, and the electricity was cut off of both towers.
Now, specifically, sir, we're on the exact same page with our analysis. Going back, you know, when we say who could carry out the attack, you first list CIA, but then say we can't prove the specifics, and then you mention other, quote, you know, private groups, other inside groups.
So,
it must be
a very small group, and you can never see. I think I know quite some CIA people. They are very honorable people. You can't do this with the normal CIA people.
You're talking about black ops. You're talking about tested black ops squads and black world ops inside key compartmentalized areas of multiple agencies.
This I think would be the place to look for, because as a layman, as an outsider, I can only say, well, we have at this place, we have to look for evidence.
We know where the evidence points. We know who had the motive. We know that only a major state could carry these attacks out.
I didn't understand this.
I mean, you've said in the past, this is clearly a major state operation. This is so big, so much precision.
Yeah. It must be covered from high up. And then probably done by only a few people, which were, well, in a very secret behavior.
Would you say 100 to 200?
No, less.
50?
Less than that. Take out the control. For example, if you cut out the electricity in
stay there. We've got a break, sir. Explain it to us when we get back. Andres Mambilo is our guest, former Minister for Research and Technology, former State Secretary in German Federal Ministry of Defense, best-selling author on 9/11 and other subjects. Andres Mambilo, we're going to have you 30 minutes in the next hour. You've honored us with that much time, and I want to open the phones up specifically on 9/11 and state-sponsored false flag operations, listeners, at 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. But, Andres, I've got to ask you, when did you decide to go public? Why did you have so much courage as one of the first prominent Western former or current government officials, very high level, to go public? What was that thought process like? Was it over time, or was it instant, or did you wake up at 3 a.m. and decide to do it? I mean, when did it all click?
No, my wife called me, look at the TV, what's going on, it's horrible. I can't believe it, what's going on. And, we were all sad, and we were, had a lot of sympathy with the people in New York and the American people. And I was horrified too, but then I said, who profits from this? And, I followed over the next days and the next weeks and the next months what's going on and what the behavior of the American government in clearing up the situation. I mean, if you are overwhelmed during 2 hours, the fantastic military structure of the United States on the East Coast, overwhelmed within 2 hours by 19 hijackers, steered from the hole in Afghanistan. This is so amazing that you are waiting how the American government can explain it. First of all, it took 3 or 4 hours, and Cheney knew that Osama bin Laden was responsible. It took another 2 or 3 hours that Al Qaeda was responsible for this. Then it took 3 days for the FBI to find out the names of the people, the curricula of the people, and finally also the photos. Within 1 week, the president and the vice president contacted the opposition leader and said, well, be careful, don't spend too much time in finding out what happened. We need all the people which were responsible on 9/11 to fight terrorism. And then Afghanistan came as the next aim, and I think Cheney knew immediately that Iraq was responsible for this terrorism. Where did he get this knowledge? It's an absolutely lie, and why are you lying if you attacked in this way?
By the way, Andres, from Mulo.
Yeah?
Between the first and second towers being hit, the CIA Director Tenet was already on TV saying it was bin Laden before the second event even happened.
Yeah.
And Bush, according to MSNBC and Newsweek, admittedly had 44,000 U.S. troops, 17,000 to 18,000 British troops masked in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. They already had 3 carriers lined up to attack, and he had the launch orders on his desk to attack Afghanistan on September 10th.
Sure, it was planned before. And they used it as a pretext to attack Afghanistan. Even the Taliban are a product of the final of the cooperation of these three secret services: CIA, the Pakistani service, and the Saudis. And
all right,
Osama bin Laden.
Stay there, sir. We got another half hour with Andres von Bülow. I'm Alex Jones. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. The websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and JonesReport.com. Be sure and get my 9/11 films.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Joining us from Deutschland, Germany, is Andres von Bülow, served as State Secretary of the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, sat on committees dealing with intelligence, fought the Stasi, discovered that Western German intelligence was working with them. So that's how he first woke up to all of this. I hope to spend some time with him today before he leaves us. On that subject, we're going to be taking your calls, and we'll get into any other facets of the 9/11 attacks, which clearly are a 9/11 inside job. That's coming up. But right now, let's go ahead and go to some of your calls. Al in California, you're on the air with Andres Bombulo.
Hello?
Yes, Al, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Andreas Fabulo. I'm waiting for this man, human being in California.
Yeah, sometimes people drop off. I guess Al's not there.
Uh-huh.
Guys. Okay, let's talk to Terry in Texas. Terry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to your program for quite a while, and I've listened to other ones. What was interesting was I don't have anything really significant to add, and I've listened, you know, to the discussion on the 9/11 many times, but sometimes I, you know, there's something that really stood out for me, even though it's been repeated before. I was listening to somebody on a program the other day, and they were talking about how the evidence, you know, of 9/11 was carted away. And, you know, you think about that, the patterns of how all these things work together, like at Waco and Oklahoma City and then 9/11. It just, I mean, I've heard this before, but for some reason it just hit me just that much stronger the other day when I heard it, how this guy was saying, look how quick they were. I mean, they couldn't wait to cut off the evidence. They couldn't do it fast enough.
Let me get Andres' take on that, but let me just add this addendum to that. They sealed off Oklahoma City, blew up the evidence, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, hauls it away, buries it under guard in an armed landfill. They won't let anybody take photos day one at ground zero. They block it off. They haul away the steel to China under guard with guards, armed guards. And it's the same story over and over and over again. Andres Fambulo comments.
That's the same company.
Yeah, same company.
The same company did the job in 9/11 in New York. Controlled demolition. Took away the debris in Oklahoma and the same thing in New York.
Same company. The premier company that also blows up buildings.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, sure, they do that. But it's not sure that they did the job in New York, but they were ordered to take away the debris. And the many experts hoped to find a lead in the debris. And
why would they guard the steel with armed guards?
I know.
Because
yeah,
it was blown off in one floor and two floor sections.
You know, there's always the same procedure in covert operations. You have the official story with patsies and false leads for the media, and the media are telling the public what the administration wants, and behind this is a covert operation, and the covert operation is never 100% functioning, and so you have to have teams to take away the leftover evidence of the covert operation.
And it just so happens to be a company you use over and over again, and that company's main business is blowing up buildings with precise controlled demolitions.
Yeah.
Anything else, caller?
No. This is completely deviating from 9/11. I do wish, Alex, you would do a thing on, it's so funny you've been mentioning about these prisons, you know, how they have factories inside these prisons. And the Statesman last week, they had an article about, at some point, I'd love to have you do a program on these factories inside these prisons. They said something like 44 factories inside these prisons where they produce a variety of items.
It's a lot more than that, sir. There's 2 million plus people working in prison industries in America for an average of 20 cents an hour taking our jobs, driving down the wages. It's the fastest non-defense area of the economy. We'll be right back. The truth is, a criminal elite similar to Hitler or Stalin, but more sophisticated, has grown out of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about in 1961 from his Oval Office farewell address. The undue, unwarranted weight of that military-industrial complex endangers us all. It has taken over, and it needs a way to rally its slaves, as Brzezinski calls us, against the barbarian hordes, and that is staged terror attacks. You look at the U.S. government documents calling for 9/11-style attacks, precisely. You look at the admitted attacks they've carried out in the past, like the 53 overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran. That's declassified, admitted. Carried out attacks, blamed it on him. terror attacks, blew up mosques, shot people in the streets. You look at then 9/11 and all the evidence, all the cover-ups of the evidence, the clear involvement at every level, at every facet. Then you look at how they used it to set up a police state in America and start invading Central Asia and the Near East. Every step of the way, you see the reality, and this isn't going to be like the Kennedy assassination, where it takes 3 decades for the truth to come out. The truth is coming out now. We are the counterstorm against their storm of tyranny. It's called liberty. And thanks to the courage of so many prominent people, the dam has broken. I want to go to Al, who was there, just away from his phone, Alex, Reagan, Brian, Bob, and others for Andres von Bülow. But Andres von Bülow, before we go back to the calls, any other facets or points you want to make? And then I have a question for you. As I mentioned earlier, what do you see on the horizon? What do you see happening? Do you see these neocons stalling, or do you see them being able to just juggernaut through with their Napoleonic invasion?
Well, the question is how the media are behaving. And the media are privately owned. The question is who the owner of the media are getting along with this agenda of the neocons. I always thought that the counterstorm around the globe against the United States, which the Bush administration raised, will finally bring about in Wall Street and other centers of finance and industry a rethinking process. Whether it's wise to go the way of Brzezinski and Huntington to bring about a new enemy and taking the whole Muslim world as enemy and as radicals and so on, and so driving them really in radicalism. I still hope that there are wise people in the United States, and there are a lot of wise people taking responsibility and stopping this whole process, because everybody would like to work together with the United States, but the way this administration is behaving, it makes it impossible to any realistic statesman to join them. So and the problem is the media. If you have the media, if you control the media as an administration, if they are following blindly, then you can write books, you can make TV, you can make radio emissions and so on and so on. This is not enough to stop an administration running amok.
Now, there was also the little carrot handed out by the 9/11 fable or fiction or legend, in that countries worldwide that aren't even aligned with the neocons were more than happy to use the specter of terrorism to crack down on their own population. So I see a new dark age of tyranny upon us. China is being more abusive than ever of their populations, having Tiananmen squares every month, but our media doesn't even criticize it now.
Well, I think the problem is the normal policy of the CIA against China would be to rise the hatred between minorities, to make regional differences, blow them up, to give money into the political blow up, and so on and so on. So the reaction normally of a government like China is to suppress this. The Ukrainian government tried to suppress the Orange Revolution, which was paid very strongly by the American government, and so on and so on. So normally you have, if you use the Kurds against the Turkish government, the Turkish government is forced to suppress these people much stronger than they would without an influence from outside, especially with weapons and money. And so you have always a very difficult situation, and you have to behave very wisely to enforce human law.
Are you saying you believe that covert operations by Western governments are trying to destabilize China domestically?
If the job would be to divide China and make it treatable with lots of smaller states, Well, you would do this normally as a Secret Service. You have to do it to find minority, to bring minorities against the majorities. You are using organized crime, killing the leaders of minorities, which are normally.
Well, we know. People. We know that's the state. Well, we know that's the stated Pentagon plan in Iraq to create civil war and break it up in 3 to 4 parts.
Sure. It's always the same technique. It's a technique. The Romans did it before the Chinese did it, and the English did it. The Germans tried it, and the Americans are doing it. So and the Russians are doing it. The technique is always the same. But if you are attacking a problem in this way, the human rights problem is not handling and the governments are not able to handle the situation as we would like to have them.
All right,
processes. The people which are the biggest fighter are get the most money.
All right, let's take some more calls. Let's talk to Al in California. Try him one more time. Al, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Sorry about before.
That's okay. Go ahead.
One comment, two questions. Peter Lance, he seems to me to be that guy on the movie JFK, who was always pointing Jim Garrison in the direction of the mafia. He seemed to be straining out from that, open down the camel. The things he talks about doesn't match up with the actual facts of what went on the day of 9/11. Rather, they seem to be deep inside details. I mean, he puts out a lot of detail, but it's just side information. Where he seems to continuously miss the big picture, and I wish George Norrie would call him on it. And I wonder who's paying Peter Lance. Also, I think his bank account should be traced, should be tracked down, and probably hooked back up.
Well, frankly, nobody really listens to Peter Lance, so and he routinely attacks me, and I just really don't care. A former 2020 News executive and producer, and he kind of goes with the number two of the four scenarios, and he's just a whitewasher, and no one buys into what he's saying that I know, so I really wouldn't worry about it. Any questions for Andres von Mulo?
Two questions. One's for you, one's for your guest. I'll do the one
okay, go ahead.
Guest first. Has anyone confronted the Loazos directly and questioned them as to what their knowledge of taking this debris away? Has anyone questioned them with questions that should be thrown at them personally?
You're talking about, has anyone questioned Control Demolition Incorporated?
Yeah.
Yeah, the families, it's been in the New York Times and other papers, the families said please don't haul it away. Firefighter Engineering, the oldest firefighter organization in the country, said it was a cover-up and just horrible and that we weren't being told the truth. A bunch of other people have. Andres?
Yeah, sure. I didn't understand. It's that their transmission is not very good from California to here.
Yeah, maybe turn his audio up. What he said is anyone tried to did anyone try to stop or then question the cover up of the crime scene in Lower Manhattan? And the answer is yes.
Oh, sure. A lot of people. I know everything I know. Things I have written about, I get from the American scenery. There are a lot of people looking for the reality and the truth. The truth movement is getting stronger and stronger, and I hope finally they will succeed.
Good.
And they are very detailed in their work. They did a wonderful job.
Yes.
Eric Hufschmidt, for example, is doing a wonderful job, and you can get this now on pictures. You have not even to read it.
Certainly. Thank you for the call, caller.
Hold on.
I got to let you go. I got a lot of other callers, okay? We can go ahead and talk to Alex in Florida. Alex, go ahead.
Yes, Alex. First of all, I want to thank your guest profusely. I think I'm on your camp. I believe we're going to win this battle, and it's going to be because of brave people like Herr von Bülow. And when this is all over, we Americans will remember who our friends are. So thank you to him. Now, I have a quick question for him. A few weeks ago, you interviewed Jimmy Walter and William Rodriguez, and they were in Venezuela speaking with the government down there. And there was talk about a possible independent 911 investigative commission, and that Herr von Bülow is going to be a participant in that investigation. Is there any news on that front?
No, I was not contacted. I don't know what is going on. I know that the government of Chavez is thinking about it, trying perhaps to organize it. But I until now didn't have any contact.
Yeah, no, they were mentioning that they would try to have folks like Mamulo involved, was the statement.
I got you. Okay, one quick question for you, Alex. My work schedule makes it very difficult for me to listen to you live, so the only time I usually get updates is when I can download audio files to my iPod. And a while back, you interviewed Sybil Edmonds, and we've been waiting anxiously for the audio file. Has that been posted yet? Or?
Yes, you can go to the network and get a membership and listen to that interview.
I've been a member for quite some time, but I've not been able to find.
You're a member of GCN Live?
Oh, not GCN.
I don't post all the interviews. Just most of them, and I do believe we posted that, but we may have missed it. We'll try to do that. All right, we'll be right back with more calls. Stay with us. We'll talk to Reagan, Brian, Bob, and others with our guest, Andres Vambulo. We've got a few other questions for Andres Vambulo, so we're going to take a few more calls now, come back and do about 5 more minutes on the other side and let him go. And we have Elijah Romo, who got videotape of troops at public schools here in Texas. He's got new video, new information. I don't know, Andres Vambulo, they're turning us into an armed camp. They're brainwashing the youth. They're raiding people's houses without warrants. America is turning into a hellish police state. Were you aware of that over in Germany?
Well, we are discussing this, and we have friends in the United States which are very anxious about what's going on in the United States.
I mean, listen, I'm not a cowardly person, but I've got passports in order for my family, and I'm going to stay here and go down with the ship. But, I mean, do you think it's an undue fear with the Houston Chronicle reporting that Halliburton's building emergency FEMA camps for the American people and Bush is openly talking about martial law?
I think it's a horrible idea. And this privatization one could say it's a camp of concentration in emergency and mass panic. I don't know why they are preparing this. What kind of scenario they are thinking about? The American taxpayer is paying now the money to build these kind of things, and then you have the annual cost of this, and finally you have to have people filling these camps.
Well,
I don't
Bush has declared he's above the law on torture, on spying. He's signing bills that haven't even passed. He's claiming dictatorial power.
Yeah. And the horrible thing is torture is not is bringing about lies, which the government again can use.
Yeah.
I think it's unbelievable what's going on in Guantanamo. They're keeping people for 3-4 years under without any judicial procedure, without telling them what anybody has found against him, with not allowing the lawyers contacting them, without allowing the families going there.
Let's take a call.
Finally, after 3 or 4 years, everybody of us would tell the what the government is willing to hear in order to get out of this hell.
Exactly. And then there's all the camps in Europe and other secret camps. Reagan.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
Your phone's really bad, so you're going to have to hurry.
Okay. I wanted to say that I remembered when I was watching Dylan Avery's film on 9/11. He got somebody from FEMA to admit that on September 10th, they were called to New York and told to be ready to go to work at the World Trade Center on September 11th.
Yeah, that was Mr. Kenny of the FEMA said that on with Peter Jennings, and then it was confirmed by Giuliani in the hearings. We talked about that.
There was also something else that I found on a website, and I wish I remembered it. It was when the Twin Towers were less than 3 years old, and George Bush Sr. looked at them and told somebody, wouldn't it be fun to blow them up?
Really?
George Bush Sr. looked at them and saw them and turned around to somebody, told the wrong person, because this person got on the web and posted it there, that George Bush Sr. turned around to somebody and said, wow, look at them. Wouldn't it be fun to blow them up?
Andres, were you aware that Marvin Bush had the contract on security for the towers and his contract ended September 11th?
Oh, sure, yeah, I know.
I mean, how much more obvious does it get?
Well, this in itself is no proof, but it's another indication in the you have to look at the security companies, you have to look at the video, the people who are running the videos of the airplanes, you have to look for the for the kept secret videos on the Pentagon. We didn't touch the Pentagon case because probably there was never an airplane touching the Pentagon. It was probably something else, and so on and so on. So wherever you go, you get secrecy. You say, well, it's a state secret. You are not allowed to touch it. You are not allowed to hear the voice recorders, or they are not found, and so on and so on. And
Reagan. Reagan, anything else?
No, I'll call another time to talk. Other people are waiting. Thanks so much.
Okay, and I would just ask you, Reagan, next time you call, turn the radio off. Thank you. It's just out of control. People will not stop. I don't know why. I'll quit taking calls. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that suddenly people just won't do it, and I'm really starting to get mad. We're going to go to break here and come back and take two final calls from Brian and Bob. I'm sorry that's all we have time to take. And then I'll have a few final questions for Andres from Bilo. But Andres, any websites you want to plug? You want to talk about your book? Anything people should go check out?
No, I don't have a website. My name, I had made some discussion with German newspapers. They are translated. You find them in the net. But I don't have a homepage because it takes too much time to clear it always.
Well, certainly you're here with us now, and you communicate that way, and we really appreciate you and your amazing courage. We salute you, Andres von Mulo. Final segment with Andres, then we'll have Elijah on with us as the children are brainwashed by troops right here in Texas. And we now take two final calls for him. Brian in Georgia, and then Bob in New Jersey. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Just want to congratulate you for your courage standing up. You know, it's pretty hard to get out in the crossfire here. Mr. Bilo, also like to congratulate you and thank you. I have a question for Mr. Bilo. Have anybody seen any evidence of the Michael Zabir, the other Clemson University doctoral candidate? Or does anybody know maybe any of the motivations behind it, or seen anything more in
depth? Well, he's talking about one of the members of the 9/11 Scholars for Truth being gunned down, reportedly by two Somalis, up in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see anything about this. I'm not informed. Perhaps I didn't understand the question, but I think until now I didn't find that anybody talking about the truth of 9/11 is in any danger, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I was just wondering maybe if y'all had any in-depth motivations about it. And a question for you, Alex.
Okay.
Do you think there that the tide of the 9/11 changing will, with it opening up more, will push the administrations to try to...
I don't know if they could manage a new event, perhaps everything will clear out and the truth movement will go under. But I think at the moment they have a quite a good momentum and the things are changing. I think the population of New York is not believing the government any longer.
That's the thing. If they carry out another event, we'll just expose it that much faster.
Yeah, but the people which are the victims, or the not the victims, but the relatives of the victims, suing the American government and the security services and so on and so on, and the airlines, they don't get a fair procedure at the moment. There is no hearing.
The majority.
They pay a huge amount of money for the people accepting that nobody else could be held responsible, and they get $1.5 million per case. But there are wives of victims which want to know the truth, and they are suing the government. But the judge is not terminating.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for the call. Final call for our guest. Bob in New Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bob, and good afternoon, Herb. Here's the thing that bothers me the most, is that they talk about the FAA tracking the planes, etc. Why doesn't anybody, or how come I haven't heard anybody bring up the fact that from Brunswick, Maine, down to Jacksonville, Florida, there are military bases with air stations and Air Force bases tracking everything that moves in the air. So why was there such a failure? And on top of that, why did they dispatch jets from Boston to intercept a plane heading to New York when they could have been sent from either Earl in New Jersey or Lakehurst? Or
there were fighter interceptors within 10 minutes of takeoff from those planes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so, and they didn't use the maximum speed to make the interception. They were very slow. They traveled around.
And we know Cheney was in the bunker that day controlling it all. That's admitted.
Well, and doesn't it bother you, both of you, that here we have the Pentagon, okay, basically the location of every type of electronic surveillance report mechanism known to mankind.
Yeah, the nerve center.
Exactly. So you're trying to tell me that nobody in the Pentagon saw this plane coming toward it. And on top of that, where the location of the video cameras were, whether it's on the main highway running past the Pentagon or at the Sheraton Hotel or at the gas station, why won't they release the video of the plane hitting it?
They're secret. They could show the public what was going on, but they are declared secret, and the main media are not bringing up the conflicting stuff. So there is silence about this.
Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. No more time for calls. Andres, we had you on what 2.5-3 years ago, and now you joined us again today for an hour. In 40 minutes, and again, I want to commend you for your bravery, your courage of standing up, speaking out. You're a great asset to free humanity. And just in closing, I want to tell folks that those that do read or speak Deutsch, you can get a copy via...
I apologize for my bad English. It's
No. I was going to say they can get a copy of your book, and that is the CIA in September 11th. But in closing, Andres, anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. That's okay. I have nothing to... I hope that that things will be cleared up and that this administration will take the stand to finally give the way for the truth movement to find out what happened on 9/11, and then the political process has to take over.
How do you say government-sponsored terror or inside job in German?
We would say insider job, the English version.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Germany on the internet and satellite. You want to? Can you just say 9/11 inside job in Deutsch for us?
Oh, that's fine. It's fine, insider job.
So that's how you say it.
Yeah, this genau wie anders. This ist amerikanisch. Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
Wir haben von Amerika gelernt.
Say. Can you say hi to all of our Deutsch listeners in Deutsch?
We have learned from the United States, and we took over this covert operation. I don't know how the Germans a lot of years ago dealt with this kind of operation. They had probably special wording for that, but I don't know it. Now we use the American version.
All right, so it's I guess you could say Englishized or.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.